Hello, everybody, and welcome to Uniquely Umami, IKEA Mama Mia. This episode, going over IKEA take-home products. That's right, not the cafeteria stuff that you see on YouTube all the time, but the stuff that you can just buy and put it in your pantry, sometimes your fridge, and then also just on the counter. And then we also go over some Korean rice cake dishes that I made, whether it be tteokbokki with tteokbokki sauce, or other things, chips and other flavored Asian delights. So let's get into the Uniquely Umami IKEA Mama Mia. Welcome to Culinary Convo. I am your host, Devin Ream. The coffee is poured and your spot at the table is open. I've got my mise en place, and if your mind is open, let us begin.
Uniquely Umami.
Uniquely Umami? Hello, everybody, and welcome to the jam now. It's time to slam now.
Linden Berry Jam.
Berry jams.
From definitely. IKEA.
From IKEA. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, spoiler. Sorry.
Umami. Yeah. No, it's fine. The name of the episode, IKEA Mama Mia. If your Mama Mia ain't making jams and jellies, you know, she's not an IKEA Mama Mia. That's for sure. So, yeah, but no, we're doing Uniquely Umami, and I'm here with the Uniquely Umami guinea pig, Marissa. How's it going, Marissa?
It's been so long.
It has.
I don't even know the last time.
Yeah. You've had life. You've had things going on. So you trying new things and doing those things. You're down in Southern Oregon. And we're up here, you know, Willamette Valley area. And so, you know, it just takes some time for shipping. There's been a supply chain issue, so I've heard. Aww. So, you know, just know that we are here now and we did try some things. I tried something today, though.
You did?
I did. It is, so on one of the prior episodes of, I believe, mapping the culinary world. We were in a country, or was it? Could have been plate and time. Hold on a second. Uno momento, por favor. I've got to see this.
Technical difficulties.
I'm trying to figure out, because hold on a second. Oh, good. I've got another window open. Okay. Because it was with my dad, and we saw the drink, and we both were like, bleh, like, oh, no. Afghanistan. It was mapping the culinary world, Afghanistan. And there was a drink that was what they called a seed drink.
And
basically, it's got all these little seeds in it. And it technically it is, I think there's like three different types of seeds that you can use or something. But basically when it interacts with a liquid, it starts to like gel. It starts to become like a jelly type of thing. And what I tried by Honeybee, which was an Asian company, I'm guessing Chinese, could be Taiwan, could be, you know, just Southeast Asia, a basil seed melon flavored drink. And the reason why Afghanistan and the Middle East like these seed, like basil seed drinks, is they're very refreshing. That's what they're supposed to be. And the seeds are tiny, like itty bitty little seeds. And so I think the reason why they really, really like it is because you only have to add, like you add less liquid and it becomes more liquidy. So you can preserve water, you know, use probably by drinking something like this. And it does add a flavor, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So I tried the basil seed melon flavored drink. And it does. It's got all these little seeds suspended in the drink. The only thing I can compare it to is like, itty bitty microscopic like boba just suspended in liquid. And so when you shake the bottle, it's like the seeds rotate and stuff, but they don't move.
That's really interesting. And I have heard of a seed drink before. Yeah. I think the only one I've heard of is a flaxseed drink. And I do not have any guess whatsoever as to what it would taste like. And I want to know because I'm very curious. And what you tried, I am curious, but I'm also afraid that I would not enjoy it.
So I personally thought, it's going to be a weird texture. I'll probably somewhat like the flavor. I just hope that the seeds are not super duper crunchy, right? And so I was like, I'll give it a shot. Let's see what it's like. And I loved it. It was so good. Okay, so one, the liquid, because it kind of like gels, it is a, you can definitely tell that you're drinking something, like, you know how when you drink juice?
Yeah.
You know, fruit juice, whatever, when you're drinking it, if it is the full-fledged juice and it's got, like, all the sugar in it, all the whatever, you don't really notice that it's too thick, but you know it ain't water, right?
Yeah.
And with this stuff, it was like, you could tell there was a gelatinous-y type of, like, thickness to it, but it wasn't off-putting. It wasn't like, blah, like, oh, this tastes awful. Like, what? It was just kind of like a, you know, like, it's like, oh, this is kind of smooth, gelatinous-y, whatever. And then the little tiny seeds, one, there weren't too many. Like, that was one of the fears. I just have a mouthful of seeds. And then you're crunching on the, no, there was like a good amount. And so you got to crunch on like two or three every time you took a sip. And then the rest just went right on down. And the seeds don't have a flavor really. They're just kind of there. And so it doesn't put an off-putting flavor. And then this melon flavored drink, it tasted like honeydew.
Huh.
And since it had that gelatinous-y type of smooth texture, it was like somebody grabbed a melon and blitzed it and then just added these little tiny seeds. It was in it, and I see why they drink it in Afghanistan. It is refreshing. It's like crazy refreshing, especially when it's cold. When it is super cold like that, and then you drink it out of the bottle, ugh, it was wonderful. It was so good. Like, I don't know why we don't have more basil seed type of drink. I think it's just because the look of it. And people were like, I don't want that thing suspended in my drink. Like, that's weird. But it was good. It was delicious. Like I said, the seeds don't really have a flavor. They just offer like a little thing to munch on at the end. You drink it again. Or you don't even have to chew. You don't have to do any of that, right? You can just drink it straight and it's going to go right down. So I loved it.
You make me want to try it.
Yeah. It's because so it's good.
If you want, you can just like put it in a package and then call somebody and be like, hey, deliver this to Southern Oregon and tip them like $5, maybe 10 if you're feeling generous. And I'll tell you what I think in maybe 3 weeks.
You can get in a vehicle of some sort. Because guess what? I got it at World Market.
Oh.
That's right. Yeah. And there's a World Market out south. You could just go, I want that basil seed melon drink.
Hey, you got the basil seed in stock? I heard about the basil seed from Culinary Convert.
Yeah. See? Yeah. That's a very good Medford, White City, Eagle Point accent. That's
thank you. I practiced it a lot because I hear it a lot.
Right, right. Yeah, you nailed it. But anyway, moving on. Like I said, basil seed drink, any flavor really. There's multiple. There's like orange. There's, you know, whatever. Try it. I tried the melon. It was refreshing. Very good. But we will move on to the ones that we tried together on a recent visit, or I visited, which is the first one here, the Cheetos turkey leg flavor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, go off, queen. What happened?
First of all, it is, when I tried it, I wasn't hesitant. I was just curious about how turkey would translate to a Cheeto, because here in the States, Cheetos are notorious for being all powdery and cheesy and disgusting, and I don't really like Cheetos that much. It's like a snack that you give to younger kids when they're like out at the river and you want them to be quiet, or you just want them to have something. And I don't really view it as a snack I want frequently, or I want to go out of my way to get. But with the one we tried, it's really good. And still to this day, there is a certain thing that I think about when I eat it, but I just can't name it. And I know what I want to compare it to, because it has, like you said, that it has almost a, I think, a soy saucy flavor to it. And I think that is true, but I don't really read it as much as maybe you do. It has this very unique taste to it, and it makes it feel like just a whole kind of different Cheeto that I would put in a bowl and be like, hey, fam, let's eat this for our party.
Yeah. We're watching the game on the television.
We're watching Jeopardy.
Jeopardy. Woo! And then, you've got your Cheetos turkey leg. It's like you said, I got soy saucy, slightly grilled. Slightly, but not like charcoal grill. But like you said, it does not ring in your head Thanksgiving turkey sandwich. Like, it doesn't, it, like, the picture on the bag, it's a blue bag, like royal blue, and it's got a turkey leg on there, and I know what a turkey leg tastes like. And I didn't get turkey leg at all, but it has a very distinct flavor, and it's not as powdery, like you mentioned. It's more of a seasoning type of thing. And I thought it was really good. But if you're going to say something's a turkey leg flavor, maybe try the turkey leg like right before you eat it. Maybe it'll connect more. I don't know.
I don't know why they went. I don't know, because it is, I feel like the case you can make for it possibly being like turkey is that maybe it's like turkey with gravy, but like a soy saucy gravy. So it's not bad at all, but it just loses points, I guess, if we're judging it based on being what it says. Though I don't think that matters as much, because I still think it's really good and I would eat it again.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I don't understand some people who think that Cheetos are chips. So they'll eat a sandwich or they'll have something like for lunch and they'll be like, oh yeah, get me a bag of chips. And, like, if you say bag of chips, but you actually mean Cheetos, like, if somebody handed me a bag of chips and it was a bag of Cheetos, I'd say, oh, these are Cheetos. I don't look at them as chips. And some people do, because it's like, it's in the chip aisle. It's a snack. But it's a corn puff, technically, right? So it's like, I don't know. But no, I would totally go for a turkey leg flavor Cheeto, I think, at this point, more than a regular Cheeto.
Yeah, no, I would choose that over a regular one any day. And I think the only time I will say a Cheeto is good is if I'm talking about hot Cheetos. Right. But if we're going to bring up the hot chip debate, Takis are just the winner forever. Yeah.
Takis are superior.
No matter how many carcinogens.
Right. Yeah. Takis have got it. And believe it or not, like, any type of, you know, Flaming Hot, Lay's brand, whatever, like Flaming Hot just potato chips, I think are better than Flaming Hot Cheetos. Although I love Flaming Hot Cheetos. They're really good. But Takis are better than the... There is a pecking order. There's a list. If it's okay on some of these things, it's okay on that. But overall, we know what our number 1, 2, 3, 4. Like, I know which one I prefer. But yeah. So, and then the last oddball, I've talked about it on the show many a time, but spicy rice cake sticks that are like these little tubes. I know my opinion on it. I think the fans have heard it. But what was your opinion on High Thai spicy rice cake stick snack?
This is the one you cooked special in the fridge, right?
No, we'll talk about that after this. Oh. The bag, the red bag.
Crunchy little
tube snack.
Yeah. I didn't like them that much. It read too sweet to me, which is not a problem, but just with me as a whole, I generally prefer savory or salty, not really even salty, just hearty flavors as compared to something sweet.
Yeah.
And I did not expect sweet from the stick at all. And I was kind of surprised by it because I think it is a good snack, but it's just not my kind of snack. And I have no problem against it because I still thought it was good. And I think it is. It has. I said something about it. Like, I wish. Oh, yeah. I wish that chip had the seasoning of the turkey leg Cheeto. I wish that Cheeto had the shape of the stick. And because I think that would be a good combination. Right. And overall, I like the turkey leg Cheetos more.
Yes. Yeah.
So I don't even know what it is. It the flavor is very hard to capture to me.
And like I said, I've always had a very hard time describing the, I mean, technically it's like Somdonyang tteokbokki, but it's like a different word for tteokbokki because it's not tteokbokki. It's basically trying to mimic tteokbokki, but it's a crunchy tube snack with these ridges, and they really highlight that they have parsley flakes on it, but you don't taste parsley.
No.
But no, I've always had a hard time describing it because it's like, well, imagine tteokbokki, and how many people have tried tteokbokki in the U.S.? It's not too many, especially around here. We've got H Mart up in Beaverton, right? And there's some folks who are of Korean heritage, and so they've had tteokbokki on different occasion. Military members that were stationed in Korea, they've had it. But overall, I mean, average U.S. Joe on the street, they don't know what tteokbokki is. They don't know.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to describe because, yes, the sauce, it is either super spicy or overly sweet, which is odd with something that is with rice. And so And so since this is not super spicy, like you said, the sweetness, it's a vibe. I don't know if it's a vibe everyone wants to ride with, but it's a vibe, you know.
I think it's just it, because I didn't get a lot of spice from it, and I made sure to shove a bunch of in my mouth. Maybe I should have had more, but...
Yes.
And there was a buildup, whatever. There was a buildup over time of, like, oh, yeah, this has the spice to it, but I don't know. I feel like I ate five and there wasn't anything Right. And I'm not trying to claim that I am resistant to spice, because I am not at
No,
all.
yeah. You,
And
yeah.
I think it was just a very relaxed kind of spice that was really
Right.
balanced out by the sweetness,
Right.
which what helped it not kind of punch me in the back of the throat.
Yeah. Yeah. It spared you. It spared you the pain. It's yeah, the thing that I with these, you know, chips or snack tubes, whatever you want to call them, bugle tubes. I, you know, they're just they are super crunchy. They're slightly sticky, which, you know, hints the sweetness. But to me, they like when I first tried them, hard to pin down the flavor because I had Tteokbokki before and I was like, well, this is like Tteokbokki adjacent. Like, this isn't exactly because Tteokbokki, there's the soft texture of the rice cake stick and that whole thing. So it's kind of like, it's just a little different. And you have the chip, and so it's super crunchy, and it's like, okay, yeah, that's pretty good. And I ate like four or five. I was like, yeah, it's okay. Like, I'll finish the bag, you know, at some point, you know, whatever. And I was, I can't remember. I was doing something. I, you know, whether it was watching TV or I was clicking around on the computer, and I'm just sitting there and I kind of munched on one. And then I look over to my right and the bag is empty. And I'm like, I need more of the, it secretly hacked my brain. I can't get enough of these things now. I order, I like I said, Kaylee knows more than anybody. Probably once every 2 to 3 weeks, I will order about four or five of these bags of high Thai spicy rice cake sticks, and I can't get enough of them. They're out of stock right now. So, folks, if you're online and you're looking around, yeah, Yummy Buy, which is usually where I buy them, they're out. Then you got Wee.com. They're not even on the site. They are in H Marts. I do know that. And so maybe I got to drive to, you know, Beaverton or Portland and go to the H Mart and buy some. But, yeah, I, you know, Amazon has them, but they're like for two bags, it's like $25, which bags, they're bigger than like a small lunch bag, but they're definitely smaller than like a normal potato chip bag.
Yeah, no, they were not that big.
Yeah, yeah. They're like bigger than the little lunch pack bags, but they're smaller than a regular bag.
I keep bringing up Takis, but there's a size that's between, it's like a medium size.
Yeah, yeah. It's meant for like sharing with a friend.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't say it's family size. Right. And so it's, but no, I mean, it, like I said, I can't get enough of them. I'm addicted to them. I crunch and crunch. Like, it happens. It's kind of like gummies, to be honest. Gummies are the same way with me, where I'm like, I'm not going to eat a whole bag. Like, Kaylee, calm down. I'm not going to eat a whole bag of twin snakes, you know? I'm not going to eat a whole bag of Laffy Taffy. And then Kaylee will be like, well, then why is there an empty bag of Laffy Taffy and all these wrappers? And I'm like, what do you mean the bag's empty? And then I look at the bag and it's empty. And I'm like, there had to have been a theft.
My tummy yeah. hurts.
Oh,
there's
it
so
did.
Much Laffy Taffy.
It did. It yeah, yeah. I ate a whole bag of Laffy Taffy, and it was the miniatures, so not the full-size bars. But I ate a whole bag in, like, 2 to 3 hours or something. It might have been 20 or 30 minutes. I can't remember. But it was quick, and Laffy Taffy... The punishment was swift. It was just like, why did you do this? That was basically what my stomach was feeling after that. But it, like I said, it's like that. They're just addicting, and out of nowhere, people are pointing out your flaws, and then you feel attacked. And so you go into a corner, and you're like, I should never eat that much Laffy Taffy again. But with high Thai spicy rice cake sticks, I can keep on munching. They're super good.
Yeah, I think what you, I'm sorry. I think what you said is meaningful because I do think if I had more of it more regularly, not Laffy Taffy, the rice snacks. If I had them more, I think I could grow to like them. And I don't want to say that it is an acquired taste because I don't, I think that's too large of a word or a phrase to apply to this snack. I think it's just one of those smaller common things of, I don't really like this right now, but oh, I keep having them or I keep trying them and I gradually get used to it and I like it over time.
Yeah, that's definitely how these are. Is it grew on me, and now I've got a fever, and the only thing that can cure it is more high Thai spicy rice cake stick snack. That's all I can have. But there is a good secondary, which is what you mentioned, which is what I cooked, which is just rice cake or basically tuck. Bucky, I'm not sure, but tuck. but basically, I got these rice cake. Coins, essentially, these little medallion looking whatever. And it's not the rice cake sticks that is originally in tteokbokki. It's kind of like the rice cake that you would put in soup, Korean soups. But I eat it just like tteokbokki because it's the only thing I've got around here right now. So, every other type of tteokbokki that I can buy right now online, or at least that I know of. So if anybody wants to provide me with a better link on culinaryconvopod@gmail.com, I would be more than satisfied. But anyway, the main thing is that these little rice cake medallion coin things, you're supposed to put them in soups or they go on top of certain things, but they're hard as a rock. And then you have to soak them overnight. And then when you cook with them, it only takes like 2 to 3 minutes, whether it's in a soup or you stir fry it or fry it or whatever. And I made traditional tteokbokki with tteokbokki sauce, which is super duper sweet. It's like a Korean barbecue-y, saucy type of whatever, but it does have gochujang, the spiciness to it. But it's not crazy spicy, at least for me. I can tolerate quite a bit, though. And I made basically a tteokbokki with these rice cake medallions, along with what I coin basically egg rice, which is where you grab eggs and the sauce and you scramble it together. And it makes like this, really crumbly egg texture with sauce. So it's like ricey in a way. Then I made what I am calling, I'm coining it, tteok and gravy, which is these tteokbokki medallions, and I had Chinese sausage, and I cooked the Chinese sausage with the rice cake, and then made a white pepper gravy with it. And so instead of biscuits and gravy, it was tteok and gravy. What'd you think?
I feel like I don't want to say I was surprised because I don't think that really says what I felt. I was a little bit scared because Kaylee apparently does not like it at all due to the texture. And I'm a very texture-based food eater too. A lot of
You guys are
stuff.
children.
And you're a loser. I was a little bit worried because something like what the texture is, sort of squishy and just in your mouth, and you, I don't know, well, all food is in your mouth, but you like can feel it in your
It's
mouth.
not spongy. It's more firm than a sponge, but it's just soft. Like very, I wouldn't even say gelatin. It's like springy,
Yeah.
right? Yeah.
It's like Play-Doh, but if it was edible and significantly better. I think I liked it. And I say I think Because I think it is another situation of I need to have it again, and I
Right.
probably need to eat more than I did because
Yeah.
I didn't have a lot at all. And
Yeah.
you also did one side with cheese only, or was
Yeah,
that
yeah.
the. Oh,
Tuck and
okay.
cheese. Tuck and
Yeah,
cheese. So I did. So by the way, cooked all three of these in the same pan. So I
Oh.
just want to get a shout out that I am. It was genius. Okay. I did the tuck and gravy and then emptied that out into a bowl. But I had a little bit of leftover of the white pepper gravy. So I was like, I'm going to throw the rest of this tuck, rice cake stuff in. And I'm going to make a mac and cheese out of it, but with tuck rice cake. And so I made a mac and cheese sauce. So just a cheese sauce. Because it's basically like the white gravy. You just have to add way more cheese. And so I did so. And so it was a cheesy tuck. So it was tuck and cheese, basically. These rice, it was rice cake and cheese sauce. And yeah. What did you think of that one?
I think I preferred the white gravy one
Yeah.
because I don't know. I think when I have the choice of something more cheesy, if it isn't directly mac and cheese, or I don't know, I'm not
Yeah.
something that isn't more of a simple cheese sauce, so to
Right.
say, I think I would choose gravy instead, and then
Yeah.
my stomach would hate me for it. But both options would be painful.
Yeah.
I think it was just, it's not that the cheese with it was bad. I think I just didn't like it as much, or it didn't go with the flavor of the actual rice cake as
Yeah.
much.
Yeah.
And
That's for sure.
I
Yeah.
think it could be different if the cheese was different, maybe, or if
Oh,
there was
yeah.
just
Yeah.
something else with it.
Right.
Because the sausage, which I generally don't like sausage that much, but I will eat it. It's just not my favorite. The
Yeah.
sausage that was used was all right. I don't like love it, but it was
Right.
pretty okay.
Yeah.
And it's definitely different from most of the sausages I have,
Yeah.
which I
Yeah.
what?
It is. It's way different. It's yeah, that Chinese sausage, it's sweet
Yeah.
and it's super fatty. The casing isn't firm,
No.
which is odd. And I say it's sweet, it's just slightly sweet. And it's only when you're eating it directly. Like, you can taste the sausage throughout the gravy, but it's not very sweet. And then you eat the sausage directly, and you're like, why is that slightly sweet?
I feel like it was really interesting because it
Yeah.
felt like it had a, I don't want to say spice, but you know the feeling of like when you know something does have spice? It
Yeah.
felt like that feeling happened alongside the sweetness of it and almost just like, because I think it was a little bit chewier than most sausages I've had.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't remember
It
that
was. Yeah,
well.
it's springy. It doesn't crumble. It's very
No.
springy.
It
Yeah.
it's not it doesn't tear apart. You
Yeah.
have to like chew it. And then combining that with the chewiness of the rice cake,
Yeah.
it was chewy.
Yeah. Chewy, springy. Yeah,
Maybe.
I will say that out of the two, the mac and cheese and the gravy and rice cake with the sausage, I preferred the cheesy one, but I'm a typical Midwesterner, Southerner, whatever. Like, if you're going to make a biscuit and gravy alternative, it better be on point, right? And so I think that when I cook, if I cook it again, I gotta use like American typical breakfast sausage. I can't use Chinese sausage
I
because I
wonder.
think that's what I
I'm
was
sorry.
looking for. No. That was what I was looking for, I think, the whole time. The gravy tasted good, but every time I was chewing on the sausage, I was like, this sausage tastes good, but it does not go with this gravy.
I wonder, like, I have two things. I wonder what the sausage would go well. Maybe.
Oh, it goes really, really good when you just like saute it in a, like with noodles.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I almost feel like it could do something in like a ramen or a soup.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I also wonder what would happen if you used the brown gravy instead with it.
You know, it would come off kind of poutine-y, you know? Yeah, I think, because your tuckbucky, your rice cake, you know, that would be like your fries. Then you got gravy, you got the sausage. It'd be brown gravy, so you got so instead of cheese curds, it would be the Chinese sausage.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I think it could work. I wouldn't doubt it. I think it could work.
I just wonder if it would be much different.
Probably not too much, because the rice cakes didn't change.
Mm.
And that was kind of my thing, was I thought, as I was making this, I thought, all right, East meets West. Like, here we go, you know? Like, here, I'm going to make a mac and cheese, but it's with rice cake. I'm going to make a, you know, not a biscuits and gravy, but basically a sausage pepper gravy. And it'll be over the rice cake. Like, this will be interesting. And then I'll make a more traditional one. And did that. And the traditional one rang true to me pretty easily. But the East meets West, I definitely would make amendments to it. Like I said, the sausage one, sausage and gravy, I would change the sausage. If you do that, you're going to have a home run. It's pretty good. Then you've got, you know, good old mac and cheese, which, you know, I tried to do it in the more like country style way, which is you add cheddar. And so it's more of like a Velveeta mac and cheese type of thing. But I think if you added more white cheeses and like smoke, if you tried to make a fancy mac and cheese with the tteokbokki, I think that it would go off way better, especially if you had, like, you know, the panko crust or breadcrumb topping, you know, just adding more texture to it, because otherwise the rice cakes just are springy, mush, gelatiny, chewy discs.
Right.
And you're right. Kaylee would say she doesn't like the rice cakes because of the texture, but every time I make it at home, I make it super spicy, so she does not want to eat it. She's like, you're insane. It's 5 a.m. Why are you eating like this? And I love it for breakfast. I don't know why, but I do. And it's really hard to have her try something super spicy that early. And then if I make it for lunch, I'm usually adding eggs and stuff, and she doesn't like eggs.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of reasons why she wouldn't like it. And then she tried the rice cake without notifying me, without giving me a heads up or anything. And she goes, why do you like those? And I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, I tried the rice cake in the bowl. And I was like, oh no. 'Cause I hadn't cooked it at all.
Why did she do that? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. It wasn't good.
It was probably cold too, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was super cold, and it was barely like soft. Barely. Like, because basically the whole point is that you let it soak, and then the water that does penetrate the rice cake, when you saute it or cook it or put it in the soup, it heats up, and the steam from the moisture that's gone inside kind of aerates it a little bit and makes it more chewy, more like actually edible. And so she tried it when it was just freshly, you know, soaked overnight. Yeah. So there's like no flavor, and it was like a weird mold. Like, I say moldy. It just, like, it's just a disc, and it's crunchy munchy. It's not like, yeah, hard to describe that texture. It's like, yeah, I don't know. It's almost like you accidentally dropped a pretzel stick in water and it took you a couple tries to get it out, and then you finally get it out and you bite into it and the outside is somewhat soft, but the inside of the pretzel is still crunchy, like hard as a rock. Yeah. It couldn't have been good. That's all. But yeah. But moving on to the title of our episode here, IKEA Mamma Mia. Got a bunch of IKEA items.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm going over the first one that we tried technically, which was the, I believe it's pronounced Daim or D-A-I-M, or Dam, something like that. It is chocolate covered toffee or hard caramel or something to that extent. Don't know what the inside is. It's crunchy. That's all I know. But I liked it. It was really good. It's just milk chocolate over like a toffee crunchy thing. It was super good. Yeah, they weren't very big. But yeah, I liked them. What'd you think?
I feel like I always do this, but I'm not very, I don't, in the way that the toffee was used with the candy, I don't really like it used that way. I like toffee where it is wrapped in the paper and it is chewy, like a gummy, but then it's sweet too. Kind of like gum that you can just eat.
Right.
I wonder if it's because it almost had a caramel taste to it, or I'm pretty sure there was caramel in it. I'm not, I don't remember. Yeah. I don't love caramel that much. It's not, I don't need, it's not like it's that much different from chocolate to me. It's just, I don't love it. And I also know that I liked the name. That one. The name that we cannot pronounce.
Yeah. I don't know if it's, yeah.
It might D-A-I-M. Be Dime. That's or something like that. Yeah. Because we got a circular version.
And yes, that was the Marabou. Marabou Dame combo. And the only difference is that the Marabou was like a coin. Right? And it had like a little rivet at the top, like a little dip.
I liked that one better. And I don't know what the difference was, but I liked... The only
difference I noticed, it had more chocolate.
Yeah.
You know? The Dame by itself, it's kind of even with the toffee and the chocolate. But with the Marabou, it was definitely way more chocolate and then like a little tiny toffee coin. And yeah, I liked the Marabou a lot more. Yeah,
I think I just need more of a, when it's like down to a ratio, I prefer more chocolate to toffee.
Yeah. I most of the time I would agree. The only thing I will say about the regular Dame and the toffee, it did provide more texture.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? But at the same time, flavor-wise, the Marabou. I like more chocolate on there. And then another good one from IKEA. And this is like IKEA brand. It is a kefiret, which is just, it's a jam and buttercream sandwich cookie. That one was good.
Those are amazing. Both the jam, buttercream, and I'm spoiling it, but the chocolate frosting one too,
right? Because those... that one has like a vanilla cookie and a chocolate cookie, and then it's got the buttercream and then a chocolate heart.
They're both so good, and I think it's just down to personal preference over whether somebody prefers jam or something like raspberry or some fruity sort of flavor to go with their candy rather than chocolate. But I think it's hard because I feel like I'm pretty split down the middle and I like both equally most of the time. But I do think I liked the chocolate one a little bit more. Maybe that's just because I had it after.
To me, one is spring and one is fall / winter, right? Mm-hmm. Like the jam and buttercream, that's your spring, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's that spring summer cookie. That it's like if you put it in a little Ziploc baggie and you went off to day camp, you would pull out your lunchbox and be like, Yay! Und mommy provided me more IKEA kafferet.
More kafferet.
Yeah. But the chocolate one is more of like your fall and winter, where it's like, I want hot chocolate or hot cocoa.
Oh.
And that cookie, and then you just dip it in and you eat it, and it's like French hot chocolate, you know, wee wee.
That would be so good. Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I think of the two cookie sandwiches. Those were great. If you're at an IKEA, get them. They last a long time. They come in a little tube.
Yeah, the packaging is interesting, although sort of difficult, because you have to, like, rip it open, and then you have to, you can't rip it straight down. I mean, you can, but you rip it more in a spiral, which is kind of fun.
Well, and it kind of makes you eat more than one cookie, because how else are you supposed to, like, wrap it up?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, like, you can't just open it, take one cookie, and then wrap it up. Like, you have to have enough room to tie it together. So it's, it's one of those, like, they got you. Like, it's like, oh, did you open this package? Yeah, eat the whole sleeve.
You gotta eat 12 cookies all at once. Shove them down.
Yeah, exactly. And then there was the worst item that we probably had the entire time, which was the IKEA multigrain cracker.
Oh, man. It's so fascinating how it works.
Yeah. How bad it was. And not bad to where you, like, you know, there's some foods that you, like, gag, right? Uh-huh. Like, oh, the flavor is awful. You know, like, it tastes rancid. This is one of those things that you eat it and you're just so disappointed. Like, you're just like, this could be so much better, and it's like, so bad. Like,
it's like
why?
You have to ask it in your head while you're chewing it, what is wrong with you?
Right. Like, I don't hate you. I'm not gonna, like, you know, put slander online about you. But, like, I don't like you. Like,
and
why do you do this?
Spit
like,
out.
Right. Like, rah. It just, it basically, it is very airy and it's crunchy. But since it's multigrain, it truly is multigrain. Like, uh-huh. I can't pinpoint the exact grain at all. And it's basically like you bite into it and you're like, yeah, this tastes like wheat something. And then it gets very bitter.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, it gets really bitter. And then it finishes off like stale bread. And then all of a sudden this bitterness comes back. And it's like, hey, I'm the aftertaste. And you're like, oh, what the f-? Like, it is so, I couldn't pinpoint, like, at first I thought, is there a rye element, like rye bread?
Mm.
But there's no caraway seed. There's nothing, I mean, there's nothing to save this cracker. There's nothing. It is so bad. And we tried to save it with jams and jellies. And we tried the cloudberry on the cracker.
Uh-huh.
Cloudberry was okay.
It was. It, like, it made the cracker taste
bearable.
Like nothing. And it was so interesting how the cloudberry just completely masked it. Because I don't think I got a taste of the cloudberry alone. But I don't think it was that prominent of a taste.
It wasn't. Yet, it was acidic, like, and that was about it.
I think it's a little, I don't want to compare it to raspberry, because it's...
It looks like a raspberry, but it's orange yellow, like, you know.
It was very interesting how it neutralized the flavor of the cracker. And it made the cracker much more edible.
It did,
but
The only reason I'm laughing is because it's like it had enough sweetness to balance the cracker. But you didn't taste anything sweet. And it was really acidic, but it wasn't acidic enough to where you thought, oh, this is so acidic. You're just like, it's like you said, it completely neutralized the cracker. And so you're biting into it and you're just like,
what am I eating right now?
Right,
what
am exactly. I exactly? Like, there's a flavor in my mouth. I don't have COVID. I can taste something, but I do not know what this flavor is.
It's I feel just... like there's no gene in the human body that is encoded to taste whatever lindenberry and multigrain IKEA cracker taste like together.
Yeah. And the lingonberry, it just made the cracker worse. Lingonberry did.
Oh, sorry.
Cloudberry, you couldn't pinpoint a flavor, but it at least balanced it and made it more tolerable. Lingonberry is kind of like a cranberry, so it's kind of tart and not bitter, but just kind of like, it's not very acidic or sweet at all. And it's good on Swedish meatballs and stuff like that, you know, because it's like a sweet jam element. But the lingonberry, oh man, the tartness with the bitterness of that cracker, it made it worse. It was so
bad. I switched them up in my head because they're both berries, and I am not very intelligent. I mean, like, I think it's, again, really fascinating how the cloudberry neutralized it and made it nothing. But then the lingonberry, because it had such a much more prominent
flavor
element to it, it the sweetness just got hammered by the bitterness. And it made like this ugly, gross, disgusting taste.
It was a moment that I will always remember just the outright disappointment that I had in eating it. Because there's foods that I've tried that I've been like, this just does not taste good. I will not eat this again. But there's a weird thing about this cracker and these jams that it's like, I've tried the lingonberry on other things and liked it. And cloudberry, like you said, I really didn't try it on its own, so to speak. But it's like, it's a jam. You can't really hate a jam that much. Like, it's probably pretty sweet and pretty good. But that cracker, just... somebody could convince me, probably, like, oh, Devitt, you just got a bad package. Like, the cracker's not meant to be that dry or bitter. It's never bitter. And then I would try it again, and probably like candy corn, I'd be like... no, this still sucks. Like, why does this suck? And they're like, oh, so you dislike the flavor. I'm like, it's just the flavor is, it's just not good. Like, it's disappointing. Like, that this should be better than what it is. And
it's like opening a tragic game, sitting down for yourself and getting a bunch of snacks and good things and expecting a good time and a happy ending out of it.
Right. Yeah. It's like your team playing a game 7 and your team gets blown out of the water.
After and, like a 3-0 lead.
Right. Like, you took a lead. You're like, woo, we're going to do it. And then out of nowhere, the other team just tramples on your team. And you're like, what? Why did I even watch? Like,
what? That happened to the Cavaliers, right?
I think so. Yeah.
That cracker is the Cavaliers team of that year.
Yeah. Or the Warriors. That happened to them too.
Oh.
Yeah. They got ahead 3-0, I think. And then the Cavaliers came back and won all 4. Yeah. It's sad when things like that happen. Especially with crackers. We're comparing it to whole franchises crashing and burning. That's how bad it was. But no, then we got the last part of the IKEA bundle here. We got their chocolate bars, all 3. Yeah. The milk chocolate, typical, pretty good. Tastes better than a Hershey bar, I would say.
Yeah, for sure.
And then they had the hazelnut bar, which was Space Jam, like soundtrack worthy good. I loved the hazelnut one. That was good. Come on and slam everybody jam now. It's, you know, come on. Yeah, that was, oh man. And then the dark chocolate, I think we all agree, it's like, this is a good dark chocolate.
Right, but it's still dark chocolate.
But it's still dark chocolate. You got to be a really big dark chocolate fan to love dark chocolate, and none of us are that. Kaylee is.
Mm.
But she even said, like, you know, it's a good one, but it's not a great one.
Right.
And so, yeah, milk chocolate and the hazelnut, yeah. Give me that again. Why isn't that in Safeway or Fred Meyer? Like, they were a dollar a piece. And they weren't like Hershey where it was a rectangle square and you're like, oh, this is kind of big. They were tiny little squares.
Uh-huh.
Easily shareable. Good chocolate bar, you know? Yeah. That was our little IKEA haul. Everybody who goes to IKEA, like when I watch online, you know, it seems like a lot of them are trying the food court stuff.
Mm.
So the cake, the Swedish meatballs, the mashed potatoes, all the savory stuff. And I was like, well, what about the stuff that you take home with you? Right? And just like their furniture, you kind of wonder why they did it that way. And some of it's good and some of it's really bad. That is how it worked out. So yeah, I mean, overall, out of all the items from IKEA, I think the only things that I would actively buy again are the sandwich cookie. That's it, from IKEA. Because the chocolate with the toffee, that's a different brand. That's not even IKEA. So, yeah. I think the only thing from IKEA that I would actively, like, when I'm at IKEA, go, yeah, I gotta pick that up, is the sandwich cookies. Mm. The jams, whatever. You know, they're not bad.
Yeah.
The chocolate bar, like I said, they should put it in grocery stores and stuff. But I wouldn't go exclusively to IKEA to get a chocolate bar.
Right.
Like, yeah. I mean, but yeah, that's kind of how I feel. I feel IKEA, you guys really need to up your game on take-home grocery-esque snack and dessert items.
I have a very specific thing about the chocolate that I've said a million times because I am just a nuisance with describing it this way, but like the turkey leg Cheetos, there is a very specific taste to the chocolate bars. I think all three of them too that I think about. It feels like when I eat it, and I know this is super out there, but it feels like walking through an area with a swimming pool that is very freshly clean and it smells clean.
Right. And yeah, you mentioned that. Yeah.
Clean feeling to the chocolate bar that it makes it taste almost airy and a lot lighter than most chocolate is.
Right.
But it still obviously is chocolate, so it'll get stuck in your mouth.
Well, and what's strange is most Europeans and like people from the UK, and they say like American chocolate is like garbage. Like it's so bad and it doesn't taste right. And yeah, and so we think it's like, well, fine, ours is garbage. What does yours taste like? And then, like you said, it's like, this tastes like a clean swimming pool. Like,
isn't it something that American chocolate has the same thing going on with, like, I don't even know where I'm getting this, but like an acidic taste that you shouldn't have?
Right. I think, it's like you were saying, they think that it's like acidic. There's something not right with it. Like it tastes off.
Mm.
Like something's not good. Like we use sour milk or something. Like it's just not. Yeah. And I want to say that it's mainly with like milk chocolate stuff.
Yeah.
Once you go past milk chocolate, they're like, it's okay. But like basically milk chocolate, like a Hershey bar, they think is like too acidic. It's way just not right. And yeah, that's too bad for them, I guess. You know, like, sorry that, you know, we make a Hershey bar that pretty much everybody sticks inside a s'more because nobody buys it by itself, really. I don't remember the last time I bought a Hershey bar by itself and I was like happy to eat it.
Me too.
I've always just had it with s'mores and that's it. I don't even know if I buy it for melting chocolate because that's what like chocolate bark is for, right? Mm. So or chocolate chips, right?
Right.
Yeah. I want to know the last time somebody bought Hershey bar and was like, this is my favorite candy.
Probably every 7-year-old you'll come across.
7 or 70?
Both.
Both? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that.
I do. I don't.
And then, yeah, that was our Uniquely Umami IKEA Mamma Mia.
Oh, Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia. And other Korean tasty things and Chinese Cheetos and our honeybee basil seed. We'll see everybody next time on Uniquely Umami, where we're going to be going over, if I had to guess, I'm going to try to find maybe European things, because we've done quite a few Asian things, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. And then we've already hit, Sweden with the IKEA. And so, yeah, we're going to uniquely space jam this, you know?
We're gonna uniquely multiverse this.
Yeah, yeah. If I can get Michael Jordan on the pod, I'll do it. I'll do Space Jam.
Just email
me. It's just a whole episode of jams and jellies. Yeah. I'm like, well, Michael, what do you think? He's like, it's okay. I'm like, yeah. So, 98, Game 6, Utah Jazz. Interesting. Yeah. Oh, man. But we will see everybody next time on Uniquely Umami. Again, thank you, Marissa, for trying out all of the great and awful things that we've provided.
Of course.
Just like the sodas.
Oh, man. I miss those guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
The good peace times. Out, world.
See everybody next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Everybody uniquely umami. Don't you really know IKEA, Mamma Mia? We're out of this world. See that?
This episode of Culinary Convo was written, produced, edited, and created by yours truly, Devin Ream, and is a part of Mouthful Productions. Please check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Culinary Convo, and our website, culinaryconvo.com, for recipes, episodes, resources, and send an email to culinaryconvopod@gmail.com with your fan suggestions or recipe submissions. You can also support the podcast by going to anchor.fm/culinaryconvo1/support so we can purchase cooking or audio equipment to help create a better podcast, or by using the funds to help further the exploration of Culinary Convo by ordering subscription boxes, food kits, or ordering food products to review. So shout out to our first supporter, Convonaut Dylan. Thank you. I also want to give audio credit to Soundtrap for our intro, transition, and outro music. Thank you.